This is my wish for the world, that peace will find its way to every boy and girl. This is the time for harmony. Let love be the song that everybody sings. Fill the air with joyful noise. Ring the bells and raise your voice. Let there be peace on earth. Let there be peace on earth. Lift your light, let it shine. Shine, shine, shine. Let every voice be heard. Let there be peace on earth. I hear the sweetest sound, the sound of hope to come. Together we could bring goodwill to everyone. Let it start with you. Let it start with me. Let every nation rise and sing this melody. Fill the air with joyful noise. Ring the bell and raise your voice. Let there be peace on earth.
New Year's Eve, it's 2017, December the 31st, and normally we would be joining you on January 1st, 2018, but as today is a Sunday, we have decided that we will prepare for the new year the day before. And maybe that's a good thing, because if we talk to you about the new year, maybe we should be setting up and preparing you for what you need to enter the new year. So join us now. I'm Pastor Jay Rouse, and this is courtesy of Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications as we prepare our sermon and message for the new year from 2017 to 2018 called Harnessing Hope. We want to say a wonderful good afternoon and good morning and good evening to those who are tuning in later in the day, and that God would be with you and bless you as you slowly make your way through into the new year with new hope, new joy, new faith, and certainly the new you. It's never too late. Never say never. Continue joining us as we now go into some praise and worship, and then we prepare ourselves for scripture as well as a word from the Lord. And I just want to say a blessed good morning and a happy New Year's Eve to my mom in studio, live in studio, and all our listeners who are listening live, who will be listening later on, and certainly through our syndicated stations. Continue to be with us. But for us to have hope, we have to believe. And this is I Believe. We'll be right back.
Come on, everybody, get your feet happy. Let's go. Come on. Front real quick, I gotta know who's in the building. Where my Islanders? I need y'all to run down here. Come on, let's
2016, 2017, and we were hopelessly hopeful. Amen. Praise God. And we will be posting that later in the new year, tomorrow and later today, so you can revisit what it meant to be hopelessly hopeful. We don't want to get into too much description on hope because it's all in that sermon. Today we are looking at harnessing hope. For those who seem to have lost their way in knowing what hope is, or knowing how to find their hope, or to keep their hope, or to hang on to that hope. And more importantly, we're going to talk about the blessings, what you're entitled to, what you're not entitled to, and how to get what God has for you. Amen. But right now, let us say a prayer right now. We'll look to the Lord, and then we will continue to prepare ourselves for the scripture and the word of God. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we praise you, we worship and adore you this day, Father God. We lift up our hands in praise, and Father God, for those who are sick and shut in, Father, we speak to their healing, their strength, and their endurance, Father God. And Father, right now, as we prepare to go into your word and we prepare to head into a new year, Father, we want to thank you. We thank you for bringing us this far, and Father, we ask that you continue to hold on to us as you take us and bring us and carry us and lift us into the new year. And as time passes quickly and we know that there's a purpose for it, Father God, we ask that we continue to trust, we continue to believe, we continue to have hope, and continue to look to you, the provider, the author, and finisher of all. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, we speak miracle signs and wonders into our lives, into our homes, into our families, and into our friends and neighbors, into our workplaces, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, we speak revival as we prepare for the spiritual warfare that lies ahead. And you will go before us, because with you before us, who could be against us? But right now, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask that you use me, Lord, that you use me to touch lives, to change lives, to give hope, and for them to not see Pastor Jay, but to see you, Father God, because you are the one who is more important. Father God, you are the one that we need to look to. You are the one that we need to see and feel. And Father God, you are the one that we need to be able to know that there is eternal hope. So, Father, hide me behind the cross now. Use me, mold me, and make me. And as I prepare with these words, that I too would learn and grow and continue to be a blessing to you and to those out there now. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I will trust. You have to have trust to be able to know that what God has for you is for you. Amen. This is Pastor Jay Rouse, and we prepare for harnessing hope.
One of the things that I've discovered is it doesn't matter how long you've been in church or how many people you prayed for, or even how many scriptures you know, there comes a time in our life where we all find it difficult to trust God. And for me and my family, that happened about 3.5 years ago as we lost our home and our car was repossessed. For over 7 months, we went from motel to motel and just sleeping wherever we could because we had nowhere else to go. And I can remember in the motel, my wife would take pillows and blankets and fill the bathtub up so my son could sleep there because the room was so small. I began to question God. I said, God, where are you? Do you see what I'm going through? Do you care about the situation I'm in? And it seemed like God had forgotten about me. And as I ministered to people on Wednesdays and Sundays, and many times they would come and say, James, can you pray for me? Can you intercede for me? But what they didn't know at the time was I was needing somebody to pray for me. Come on, can I get a witness, somebody that... Come on, sometimes you've poured out and you've served and you just wanted somebody to stand in the gap and pray for you. And I found myself there, and at that moment I began to say, God, are you still here with me? God shared with me. He said, James, you got to be able to trust me even when you don't know why you're going through what you're going through. And even when it seems like I've forgotten about you, and even when it seems like I'm not with you, he said, you got to be able to trust me now. He said, and if you can trust me during these times, God said, I'm getting ready to do something in your life that even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. It was at that moment I began to say, Lord, I will trust you. And I began to worship with my family as I held my son. I began to get the words of this song. I said, God, even though I can't see you, and even though I can't feel your touch, God, I still trust you. Oh, God, I still believe that you're going to make a way for me. I still believe that you wouldn't put me here if you weren't going to bring me out. And at that moment, God gave me this song. And to see now this song, I Trust You, that has blessed millions of people all over the world. And God knew that somebody was going to be going through what I was going through in this season of their life. And he understood that he was going to need a song to encourage the people of God. And I understand now why God had to put me in that situation in order to get the song out of me that would encourage somebody right now. And I didn't understand it then, but God, I understand now why I had to go through that season. Because somebody listening right now, you're going through a struggle and it seems like you can't make it out. The devil's been telling you that there's no way that you can get out of this mess, but somebody needs to know today that God's no respecter of person. If he brought me and my family out, God can do the same thing for you. And if you believe it, come on, somebody lift your voice right now and say, God, I will trust you. Come on, say, oh, that's right, I'll trust you. Oh, God, I don't know when I'm going to get out of this, but I just believe that you wouldn't put me in it if you wasn't going to bring me out. So I trust you. It gets hard sometimes. I feel like I'm all by myself, but I still believe you. I still trust you. Come on, Father, take it up. I'm raising a baby all by myself. It seems like you're not here, but I still believe you. I still trust you, God. Oh, that's right. I cry at night all by myself, wondering, God, when will you show up? When will you bring me out? But I'll praise you now, because I know that you're already here. Somebody say, I trust you. Oh, God, I just lost my job, but I still got no bills and money, but oh, that's right, God, I will. I just had my heart broken, but oh, God, my back's up against the wall, and I just lost my loved one, Father, but I still trust you. This is why, because God will make a way out of no way. I know he will. He did for me. God will. You're still here. It's not over. I said you're still here. He'll make a way. He'll show up. He'll open the door. I know he will. Yes, God. Now somebody give God a praise right now.
I'm going to say, God, I will trust you. Oh, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I just believe that trouble can't last always. Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
been listening to I Trust You by James Fortune and Faya, I Will Trust by Fred Hammond, and that was my friend's I Worship the King, the Toronto Mass Choir. We're going to take a look at a couple scriptures, and then we're going to pull it together in a few minutes in our sermon, Harnessing Hope. Right now we're going to turn to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 29. And I'm just going to read a couple background scriptures and will explain to you shortly why I am doing what I am doing. So we're going to start reading from Jeremiah, let's take it from chapter 29, verse 3, and I'll read and stop accordingly when the Lord says. He entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and to Jemiah, son of Hilkiah, who Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, I'm at 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to do which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And we're going to leave it there. We're going to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And it's the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount and what we also know as the Beatitudes. I'm going to start at 1 until the Lord says to stop. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And here are the Beatitudes. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Here are the words of the Lord God out of the Bible and his word. May he add a blessing to the hearing, the doing, and certainly to adhering to. This is I'll Just Say Yes by Brian Courtney Wilson, and we'll be back to hear from the Lord.
This life you gave.
Always brings me to tears. Praise God. Yes, Lord, my life is yours. That is our ultimate goal, is it not? That is his ultimate goal. But he's given us that choice. He also said, choose this day whom you will serve. Well, if you're not serving him, there is no other elective to make sure. And therefore, you're either with the good or the bad. There is no in-between. Amen. Praise God. I always say you don't want to be caught sitting on the fence because you don't want the spoke to poke you. Amen. Praise God. Harnessing hope. Well, I don't want to give too much about when we talked about being hopelessly hopeful. But according to Oxford, yes, and as you all know, that is my go-to dictionary because I am British, praise God. It's a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. To have high hopes in something, or you hope or long for, look forward to something. The other definition is a person or thing that may help or save someone. Well, do we know anyone like that? Amen. Praise God. And then there's a grounds for believing that something good may happen. Now, you'll notice the difference between the first and the second definition here. It says a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. And here it says grounds for believing. There's that word believe, that something good may happen. And then we dealt with this in our songs today, a feeling of trust. Well, one has to have hope, And I think the most common scripture and chapter on faith and hope is Hebrews 11. And as we know, at the beginning of Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." To have hope, you don't necessarily have to see something, but to know and to believe and to trust. Now, in some of the scripture I read earlier today, and I've got to address it, because one of the things about hope that we totally misunderstand is a very famous scripture, and I'm going to read it here in the New International Version as I had read it earlier, is Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And yes, we do have hope. We have hope in the Lord because of a promise that was made. And any covenant and promise that the Lord makes with us and to us, we know is solid, like the rock that he is. And we take this scripture and we run with it. But we forget to do some of the background work. And I'm not into bursting bubbles today. I'm into harnessing hope. You might have been hopefully hopeful and hopelessly hopeful in 2017. And maybe everything you panned out and hoped for did not come to fruition. But what we're going to focus on today is not so much being hopelessly hopeful, but harnessing that hope. What is the hope? How do we attain this hope? How do we keep and sustain hope? Amen? And that is why we need to be mindful. So when we enter into tomorrow, 2018, January the 1st, we are set, we are prepared, and we are ready and know what we need to do to harness hope. Amen? So now, one of the things that we need to take a look at quickly, as I just read in this scripture, that we tend to go ahead and just assume, well, we know God has a plan to give us hope and a future. And it's not to harm us, but to see us to prosper. Now, you'll notice when I read the scripture, I started back from, I believe, verse 3. Just to give you a little bit of a background on this, you have to remember that this is a discussion about being held in captivity to the Israelites. It says in 4, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." What he starts off telling them is to go about their daily lives. He said, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what you produce, marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for those sons and daughters so that can carry on and continue to carry on. He said, seek peace and prosperity in the city and pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. I'm going to read that again. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Then it says here, yes, this is the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel. He said, don't let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. So think about, he said, okay, I'm the one who has you in captivity, because remember, nothing happens unless the Lord wants it to or allows it to happen. You remember that saying we always say, in the valleys we grow? Well, yes, we do, and we learn certain things, not just through the Lord God, because we always think he's punishing us. God isn't punishing us. If we haven't done anything wrong, there's no need. And he does chastise and he does discipline, but God is not punishing us as a people, but he is allowing us to go through certain things. I think of the refiner's fire. like a diamond. It starts off as a lump of coal. Nobody finds it and says, oh, look at this beautiful stone. I'm sorry, but a lump of coal is not the prettiest looking thing. Unless you're describing back in biblical days the beauty of maybe her eyes. Amen. Praise God. And I think it was Solomon who did that. But the fact of the matter is, to allow it to become what it's supposed to, it has to go through a transition. It has to go through a process. It has to go through the fire. It has to go through the heat. It has to be chipped away. It has to be molded. It has to be sculpted. And once we've endured all that, yes, there's the word I'm going to focus on as well, endurance. Once we have endured that, only then do we come from that lump of black coal into the most beautiful, precious diamond gems. But we still have to transition. And it says here, remember, I'm going to read it again. He said that we have to go through some things and pray. And because if you too will prosper, if we are asking God for things that God has no intention of giving us, and remember, if he has these good intentions for us, then truly he only wants to give us good things. So he is allowing us to go through some things because we need to grow, we need to develop, we need to change, we need to transition, we need to strengthen. I'm going to take a wee break here, and we're going to take a look at the word endurance once again through my friends at Oxford. And it says, the ability to endure an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. And the capacity of something to last or withstand wear and tear. Yes. If we are going through this transition and we are changing and reformatting and molding and he's making us, and remember, he is the potter and we are the clay, and we have to be taken out of shape. Sometimes we get bent out of shape. Amen. Praise God. Just like the clay. But when he is finished with us, my. And so it's hard. It is sometimes hard to go through the process. But remember, through it all, he said he only has good plans for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us, and plans to give us hope and a future. And the reason I say this scripture is taken out of context, because we look so excited and get so excited about this wonderful scripture. Oh, yes, I know what God has for me, and I know what he intends to do, and I know how he loves me and his plans for me. But I'm going to back up just a little bit here. And you'll notice the things that he described is just basically saying, go on with your life. He even talks about those wolves in sheep's clothing. He said, don't let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. So he said, go build houses, plants, build, eat, marry, produce, be prosperous, and seek peace in the city in which you are. So he is telling you to carry on with your lives. And he mentions the false prophets and all of those others out there, because this is part of who we are. This is part of life. And, you know, I'm one who does life application Bible study. You can't get any more applicable than that, because everything he has said for the people who have been held in captivity is the same thing that we are doing now. We are trying to live our lives. We're trying to be peaceful. We're trying to be prosperous. We're trying to be good citizens. And, yeah, there are a lot of deceivers out there in the name of Jesus. My word. But the one part that we need to keep reading after he said that he has not sent them, he continues on and he said, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. He's basically told the Israelites, look, excuse me, I hate to get your attention, but I'm just going to arrange for you to be held captive and probably not treated very good. But, you know, I have a reason why I'm doing this. So just, you know, trust me. Have belief in me. I need to have a little bit of faith because, yes, I you can have hope because I do have good plans for you. But I'm not going to be able to come and do these things until about 70 years from now. Time right there. Now, I would hate to think that if we were as intelligent as we are as human beings, that at the age of one or two, you might have actually understood what he was saying. And then if you knew this and you were supposed to have hope, but he kind of mentioned, but by the way, in 70 years, I'm going to give you some good stuff. Life would be pretty difficult. So this is why we have to have hope. Now, what I want to show you today is how to harness hope. Because while you're living your everyday life and doing all the wonderful things that God wants you to do, until he's ready to fulfill all of the promises he has for you. Notice I said all of the promises because he has still blessed you on the way. My. Let's take a look and go over to Matthew. We're going to go back to Matthew 5. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of background before we hit the definition of this. In Matthew 4, we dealt with the first disciples, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were fishing. And Jesus promised to make them fishers of men, for he was building a kingdom, his kingdom. And then he called James and John, who were also fishermen, and they were mending their nets in the boat. And the authority of the king to call the people to follow him, and he clearly portrayed that by all the miracle signs and wonders that he had. And so Jesus became very popular, and this was basically the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Matthew 4. And he went through various regions proclaiming the message of the kingdom and, of course, saying who he was and healing people. And, you know, tons and tons of people followed him and came as far away as Jerusalem and other places. And then we get to the ultimate Sermon on the Mount. And we call this section the Beatitudes. I always say the attitudes to be is with the Beatitudes. It tells you how to be, okay? So don't have a bad attitude. Have beatitudes. Praise God. Amen. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And it goes on. And again, take a good look at it. It's in Matthew 5, and the Beatitudes start, because this is what he began to teach them. He wasn't preaching. He was teaching them. And he told them, these are the attitudes that you need to be. And he goes all the way through and how they are blessed. And then in 11 says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely. You know, this is everyday life. And as much as we go through this, and we're like, okay, why am I enduring all of this? There's that word endurance again. And we come back to that fact again, because he said, you are blessed when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of him. If you are in the right attitude and have the attitude to be through these Beatitudes, you are blessed. And so if you have the Lord God Almighty and you continue to live your life every day, despite what goes on, maintain what you need to, and be in this frame, then you certainly will be blessed. And it says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Yes, you're going to go through some things. And yes, you should still have hope. God may not have said, okay, in 70 years I'm going to come and give you the blessing that I owe you. No, he's been blessing you all along. And if you continue to follow him and continue to have hope and trust and endure, he's going to continue to bless you with your obedience. Now, you'll notice in Matthew 5, it talks about being salt and light. This is very important. Because with this attitude, you have to remember that you are salt and you are the light. Jesus may be the light of the world, but if you have Jesus in you, you too have the light, and you need to shine that light. And the only way to shine that light is to maintain the trust, to maintain the belief, to be encouraged, to be content, to maintain your life, and to always maintain faith and hope. And if you can continue to know that there is hope, and things will happen along the way, but God is still blessing you because of who you are in him, then you have nothing to fear. Now, I took a moment and I looked up blessing in Oxford, and it says God's favor and protection. Remember, he said, blessed are you if you are any or all of these things. Any of them. It also says grace, a beneficial thing for which one is grateful. Amen? A person's sanction or support. To be blessed by God means that he is there for you. On Christ, the solid rock you stand. All other ground is definitely sinking sand. So despite the fact that you may not see that you have anything to be hopelessly hopeful about, God has been blessing you along the way. And the question here is, as the definition says, that it's a beneficial thing for which one is grateful. Have you been grateful? I guess we're not grateful when we don't see the blessing along the way. We don't see the divine favor and protection, because I like to look at things of not how bad they are, but how much worse could it have been if God had not stepped in. I still have hope of what is to come eternally and in my future, but I know that along the way, the Lord, as the song says, is blessing me right now. Amen. And I need to be grateful and I need to acknowledge, because if you are blessing others in the name of Jesus, then God has put favor and protection, divine favor and protection in your life. And so to harness this hope, you have to remember that as you go along the way, to bless somebody, to be grateful, to endure, to be in the right attitude, have the right attitude, and most importantly, to pray. Harnessing hope is not as difficult as you think, because he said to go about your daily lives and be mindful of those who are speaking in my name. You are in control of lassoing and seizing and grasping and holding on to hope. But along the way, remember to be grateful. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. So he's not sitting there watching you go through life, be it 70 years or longer or less, he has been blessing you while you continued to bless others. He has been guiding you. He has divine protection and favor over you. He said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Does anybody want the Lord to make him over? Just begin to celebrate Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Gem. We talked about Jeremiah today, and we have to remember another scripture, Jeremiah, where God said he knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knew who he would have you be and what he would have you do. Only God Almighty knows what's under all of that stone and dirt to be cleaned away and scraped away and to melted and molded. He knows the gem that you are deep down inside, much like in the womb. He knew you. He knows you. And he still has plans for you. Titus 1 and 2, it says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and which now at his appointed season he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me. And I say me, not just as Apostle Paul, but me as Pastor J. Rouse, by the command of God, our Savior. We only want you to know that there is hope, and it does spring eternal, because the only eternal hope is an everlasting hope, life everlasting, brought to you by no one other than Jesus. How do you get that? Well, you admit that you're a sinner. You believe that he is Christ, that he is God, that he is one and three, all in one. You believe that he rose and that he died, and then he ascended to heaven. He was born. We celebrate him on Christmas. And so for him to come into this world as flesh, he had to be born of a Virgin Mary and a Virgin Mother. And he came, and he spoke, and he walked among us so that we can experience him, and he would know exactly what we go through. And then he was crucified, suffered under Pontius Pilate, dead and buried. And then 3 days, as we know, he arose again, Good Friday. And then 3 days later, Easter, he arose. Amen. And he lives. He went to prepare a place for us so that where he may be, we may be also. But until he comes back and returns or calls upon you, he has a calling for you. And once you can confess that you are a sinner or you have fallen short of glory of God, because we have all sinned. None of us is perfect. None of us is righteous. It is our goal to be more like Christ. And while we are going about our daily lives, we need to know that we can do nothing without him. He is our strength. He is our everything. He is our all. And all you have to do is admit, believe, and confess. Ask him to come into your life. He's there. He's listening. He's waiting. He's been standing at the door knocking very gently. Open the door and let him in. And for those who feel, well, I left him or he left me. No, he's never gone. He's never far away. He's always there. You just have to let him know that you're sorry and that you want him to make himself known. Amen. But he's always been there for you. There is hope and many blessings along the way. Let him in. Let him be that forever. Amen. I understand better now when I'm on my knees. Amen. Praise God. Harnessing hope. Continue to be hopelessly hopeful and harness the hope that is your entitlement. Amen. On behalf of my family and our ministry, Rouse Ministries, and all its affiliates, its associates, our co-hosts from Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications, our volunteers and our colleagues and our friends, we want to wish you and yours a very blessed and happy new year. Don't lose hope. Hold on and harness your hope. And don't let go. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen. Jesus loves you, and so do I. God bless you. All we want
The harvest is connected to the rain. I'm telling you,
about to send the rain to this land, and every seed that you sow and every prayer that you pray is about to come forth in harvest. That's why we say,